where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello and welcome to An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And we have Zafiria Bell on the show today. I'm so excited to talk with her. It is such good timing for me. And so I know it's always divine timing for everyone that listens as well. I'm going to read you her bio because it is so cool. I love it. And I love that she has claimed this for herself because... Actually, just quick side note, I'm going to introduce you, I promise, Zafiria. But yesterday I was walking along the beach and feeling into wanting to be with a king in my future. And then I thought, how would I know he's a king? And there were two things that came up so clearly. The first was that he chose to be, that he claimed it himself. And then the second was that he lived in integrity with that. And so I love that you have claimed who you truly are in your bio and that you give like other men and women around the world permission to do the same. So let me read it because it's so cool. Zafiria Bell, she is an evolutionary woman, a medicine woman, a priestess. Zafiria is all of these. However, she is also just a woman with the same issues that you and I face every day. Hallelujah. Zafiria has devoted her life to love and dedicates her days to gently guiding women back to their womb, their heart, and their connection to a deep place of self-love. She understands that the way we can make a massive impact in the world is to come to a place of loving ourselves so much that it impacts everyone in our lives. And men as well, you have energetic wombs and you also have hearts. So don't worry, we've got some stuff here for you as well. Zafiria, welcome. Longest introduction I've ever done, but welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited. So I just want to say this morning I have danced and self-pleasured and journaled and I think maybe read, if not I definitely scrolled through Facebook long enough to call it reading, and I've done so many things to attempt to feel all of my heart again. And then I think like maybe I already am feeling all of my heart and I'm just not embracing that this is how it feels today, and so I am really excited to show up raw and feeling kind of like icky and contracted, and to receive from you how you help people to connect with their hearts and their wombs on behalf of everyone else who is listening. So thank you so much for being on board today.
Pleasure. I think it's absolutely perfect that you're in this raw state and feeling a tender heart. And I mean, I think it's absolutely perfect. And I'm excited to be here with you. And I'm also excited that not excited that your heart hurts, but excited that you've turned up on this with me when you're in a vulnerable space. Because I feel like as women, and especially as women who other women are watching or listening to be a beautiful example of that, that we are raw and that we have emotions and that we feel. And some days it's kind of hard to get out of bed, and some days we'd rather just crawl under the dinner and hide. And I feel like that's just the reality for everybody. And sometimes for women in places like us where other people are watching or listening, they can think that we don't experience that. And we do just as much as they do.
Yeah, I love what you just touched on as well, because I had a conversation with my mum around the time of my separation. So it was like when I was at my most raw. And she said, Kiara, I don't know if you're more happy doing all of this spiritual and personal development. Like, you cry a lot still and all of the, like, I don't know if you're more happy. And it seems to sometimes stop you from actually being able to, you know, function in the world. And I actually wondered if she was right for a little while. I did. I like to take all, everything as an opportunity to learn. But then I realized that she feels that way, or that everyone
feels that way until they decide to switch it off. And that, to me, feeling pain is more beautiful than feeling nothing at all and just like slowly letting parts of myself, my heart and my body die off so that I can't feel them anymore. That seems like the biggest tragedy that could be possible. So I love that you said that other people spend days in bed sometimes. So can you tell us how you started this journey? Like, I'm sure you didn't wake up teaching like out of the womb fresh. You were like, I'm going to teach women how to connect with their hearts and their wombs. So can you tell us your journey, please?
Yeah, totally. Gosh, I kind of wish I'd popped out and just thought it was that. Would have been a much easier path. I've taken the hard way here.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like back at about 16 or 17, I knew that this was my path, and then I went way, way, way off the path for quite a long time, and ended up in an abusive marriage and ended up in a place of like total numbness. Mm. So just not being able to feel my body at all. Like there was one day where I really honestly thought about going to the doctor and saying, can you like take blood so I can see that there's blood inside of me, because I can't feel anything. Like, this is really strange. Mm. And got to a point in that relationship where it was like, well, either he was going to die, I was going to die, or we're both going to die. It was like, something's got to shift and change. And it was a big wake up call for me of like, how did I go from being that young, bright, you know, bubbly girl who was always full of life and always full of so much love to being numb and almost like not alive, and realizing that I needed to do something about it. And so taking that path, and it was a pretty long path of like 3 or 4 years of really starting to come back to myself and feel my body and coming to a place of loving me again. And that was a hard path. You know, a lot of that abuse was emotional and verbal to make me feel like this vessel that I'm in was not okay. Mm. So moving through all of that, then coming to a place of like, there has to be something more, not only in life, but in love in general. Like, surely there's something else to this life. And so then realizing, if I can come to a place of loving myself so much that love overflows and impacts other people, not only am I making my own life incredible, but that's the way that I can impact and change the world, and then to touch other women with that as well. So that was kind of like the coming to the self-love and coming into the heart phase. Mm. And then in the last couple of years, it's been realizing that I really didn't even realize we had a womb. Like, I know that sounds stupid. Like, I kind of knew we did because I know there were cycles. That was about all that I knew. Yeah. But coming into the place of realizing that by tapping into the power of my womb, that I can create life, not only a physical life, but I can just create everything in my world, and realizing that I can share that too with men and women. Like, you know, women, absolutely, but also the men who are brave enough to tap into the realization that they have an energetic womb and that they're able to move into a place of activating that and coming to a place of deeper self-love as well. If we can all do that, really just move into a place of opening our heart, we can change the whole world. Mm. Like, that, to me, that's a reason to get out of bed.
Except on those days when you don't want to, but most of the days. Yeah. Yes, I love definitely. That. Yeah. It's so interesting. As you were speaking then, it reminded me how one of my mentors as well, she said that, I think she was 15 when she did Reiki and, you know, really started young, and her mum was an incredible psychic. And then she ended up marrying someone that she wasn't sure she wanted to marry, and completely disowned her spiritual path for a few years, where she was like, do you know what? This is not making me any happier anyway, so I'm out. And then came back and is now an incredible spiritual teacher and one of my mentors. And it's like, I don't know, do humans think that they have to do the opposite of what they're like? It's like they knew when they were younger, oh, I know what I am. And then I'm going to go experience the pendulum swing the other way so that I can then come back and actually share from a place of having experienced whatever I want to help other people with. It's just so interesting, isn't it?
I feel like I couldn't share the gifts that I am right now unless I'd been through those really intense experiences, because I can work with, you know, I mostly work with women, but I do work with men as well. But you know, I can work with women and I would have experienced almost everything that a woman can experience. I haven't experienced birth. I haven't given birth. So that's one thing that I haven't. But there's not many things a woman could come to me with and me not understand it from personal experience. So I feel like that is a gift in itself, even though it's certainly been some really painful times in my life to get to this point.
I read, going blank on the name now, Crystal Alexander Hill, I think is her name, the Hill or Hilpie or something like that. And she said, that our mess becomes our message. And I thought, like, I read that just yesterday and I thought that was so beautiful. And I feel like it's kind of off track and also really important for people who are listening, wanting to know how to open their hearts. It helps you to surrender into and accept whatever your heart is feeling right now if you know that there's a reason that anything is happening, and that even if it feels really messy, at some point it will become the exact medicine that you then go on to share with the world. So thanks for being an awesome example of that.
I like wonder if that's a good thing or bad thing, but
it's a great thing and it's a very human thing, so I love that you're sharing it. All right, so then tell us what you share with people. Like, I don't even know where to start. How do you help people who maybe haven't even experienced connecting to their heart before? Like, if we just started really at the start, I remember people used to say, come from the heart. And I was like, all right, I'm trying. I don't feel anything. I'd love to start from that level. What do you do to start connecting with your heart? Or maybe actually, can we go to first, why? What's the benefit of connecting to your heart and your womb? And then we'll go to how do you start from the start?
Yeah, sure. I feel like, well, the benefit to connecting to your womb is that you're able to really step into your full power as a woman. And it allows you to come into a place of almost unapologetically being you. And also that's really the place that not only do we create everything, like I said before, but it brings us into our bodies, into our embodiment of like the sensuality and sexuality and really becoming okay with that. Like, I feel like for so many of us, it's a place of either shut down or a place of not feeling safe for a lot of women to really just be in their sensuality. And moving into the womb, I feel like it really just brings that permission for ourselves, that realizing we can do that for us. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to be sensual or sexual for anyone else. That can be for us. And that power of stepping into the creatrix means we can create anything we want in this world. So for me, that's kind of the benefits of the womb. And the heart, for me, it's kind of like it's everything. And I guess because I feel like I've devoted my whole life to love, that's probably part of the reason why I feel like it's everything. Maybe it's not for everybody, but if we really want to live this life and we really want to experience it and we want to get the most out of everything that there is to experience, to me that comes from being able to feel our heart and being able to understand that it can close and that it can open. And like you were saying, like I used to be the same as well. Like people would say, you know, oh, your heart chakra is closed. And I'd be like, I don't even know what that means.
I wouldn't even know what it felt like open. Yeah.
They'd be like, so just all you need to do is just open your heart. And I'd go, how? So I mean, one of the first things that I started to do was to try and experience the how for myself, but then learn how to guide and show other people what that even feels like, because I feel like once you've felt something in your body, you've got an idea for it and you can go back to it. It's like we've anchored it, or we've had a transmission from someone else. Yeah. And so one of my favorite things to do, no matter where I am, is to take people through a really quick process. It's like a short guided meditation with a flower. And actually, it's funny that I didn't know you were going to ask me this, but I do actually have flowers sitting right here.
Okay. Are we able to do it on a podcast? Like, can we do it without anyone being able to see them? Awesome.
Yeah, I reckon we can. Because all they could do is pick anything in the space that they're in right now that's something that's beautiful. So for me, I always pick flowers because it's something from nature and it's something that's around all the time, and it's something that I don't have a negative emotional attachment to. It's just something I find that's beautiful. So people could right now just look around in the space they're into anything that they find that's beautiful.
Okay.
And once they find that thing that's beautiful, should we do it?
Yeah.
Once they find that thing that's beautiful, that's something.
I'll take this.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, actually, no. I'm going to use my mala beads.
Yes. Cool. Okay. Awesome. So just close your eyes for a second and take a nice
deep breath. And also, maybe if you're like driving or something, you could do this later. Or you could imagine it. So sometimes when I'm driving, I still do visualizations, but I just imagine them. So you can imagine you're holding a flower for this, or and then do it again later properly.
Definitely don't close your eyes if you're in a car. The closing our eyes bit's only for a second anyway.
Okay, good.
But don't close your eyes if you're driving.
Okay, good.
So the rest of us who aren't driving can close our eyes just for a second and really just take a couple of breaths. And the intention is just breathing into the body and just becoming really present to the body and present to the moment. Just allowing yourself to center with the breath. And then opening your eyes and looking at whatever you've chosen as being your thing that's beautiful, the object that you want to look at. Looking at this object with a different kind of awe, like you've never seen it before. I want you to look at every single little detail. Even touch it against your skin. It's really feeling the texture that it has. Or if it's a flower, you might want to smell it. Place it against your lips or your face and really explore the texture. I want you to imagine that this particular object here was something that you could fall in love with. This object here, it's innocent and beautiful. It's something that you could open your heart to. And just feel into your heart at the moment. Just sensing in the middle of your chest. How does the middle of your chest feel? How does your energetic heart feel? So nothing's right or wrong here. It might feel tense or tight. You might not know how it feels, and that's okay too. Just bringing your attention to the heart in the center of your chest. And imagining that you could bring your breath right into the center of your heart. And as you bring your breath into the center of your heart, just inquiring, would your heart like to experience what it's like to open to this beautiful object that you have? Knowing that this object can't hurt you, knowing that this object is being of service to you right now. And as you gently inquire, bringing your breath into your heart again, and just feeling if it starts to open a little. And gently inquiring as it starts to open. Perhaps it would like to open a little more. As you're either holding or looking at this object, remembering that this is what you're opening to. Inquiring into your heart, what would it feel like just to open a little more to this object? And a little more. Using your breath to gently soften. And then just imagining that you were able to imagine that you could make your heart as big as your chest. Just imagining that that was possible. As you bring your breath into your heart. And as you imagine that you could create your heart as big as your chest, imagine that this object that you have could become one with you and with your heart. Imagine that your heart could open to this object of nature or this beautiful item as much as it could open to you. And as you continue to breathe into your heart, just really acknowledging what you're feeling. And really acknowledging that that feeling is you. And setting the intention to hold on to that feeling so that at any time that you choose, you can go back to this. Any time that you choose, you can drop into your heart and breathe and allow it to open. And just taking another breath and centering yourself back into the current moment. In your own way, allowing yourself to thank this object. And taking another breath and centering back to now.
What did you say?
That's kind of a taster. So that's kind of like the start of it. And you can just keep playing with that and opening and opening and opening and just play with how much you can open. But it's like once we can experience that feeling that, to just open to something in nature or something that's beautiful to us, there's not the fear of another person, then we've got that practice and we can continue to do that. And for me, that's like, you know, the experience where you're saying at the moment that your heart has been feeling raw. To me, I open my heart through anything that's feeling raw. So any emotions or any pain that I'm feeling in my day, I bring it into my heart and I just open through it.
So how do you do that exactly?
Yeah. So if I'm feeling emotions come up, I'll usually close my eyes and try and sense and feel if I can where, like for me, I'm quite embodied, so I can feel where they're hiding in my body. Mm. So for me, it's very much a sensation, but I know for everybody, it's not that way. So if it's not, I would just close my eyes, feel into like opening the heart like that and imagine that whatever is going on for me, imagine it that I can bring it into my heart. So some people are visual and they're going to see it as something in their body or as a bubble outside of them and bring it in like a visual thing. For me, it's totally about feeling like where is it in my body. Quite often it'll be like, you know, down in my tummy and it'll feel like an anxiety. And I can breathe. Imagine that I'm focusing on the anxiety and I can breathe that up into my heart and do that process, the heart opening, and it just kind of moves through. So it's just a matter of knowing yourself, whether you're, you know, more of a visual person or more of a feely person, or some people might need to actually talk it through. They might be more of a like words person, and they might need to talk themselves through that particular emotion or that experience coming into their heart.
So how would they talk it through if they were doing it that way?
Yeah, sure. So for me, if I was going to talk something through, it's kind of a little difficult because I'm so feely. I'm trying to think of an example. I would, or perhaps even write it or draw it would be another way as well. So another like visual one is actually to write the thing, draw a heart and move it into the heart that way. It's like everyone's just so different. It's playing and feeling what it is. And I guess if it was talking it through, for me, I would be talking about what that experience is to myself, speaking it out loud and saying, like, I ask you now to come into my heart, and I ask my heart to open, and I ask my heart to move through this experience. So it's kind of more, I guess, like intention setting, by asking the thing to move and asking your heart to open. So it's playing and feeling like what works for you. I think that's the biggest piece, is that we can sometimes be guided into something and think everybody does it the same and I'm broken because I don't do it that way. But it's like we're all so different.
Yeah.
Just because I feel doesn't mean someone else does. They probably see amazing visual pictures. So.
Yeah, thank you. That's an incredible practice, and I loved the way that you talked about it, like just imagine that you could imagine. So it really takes the pressure off. You're like, I can imagine that I could at least imagine, like that's so far out that yeah, of course I can do that. Awesome. So what do you feel are so when I read the book The Untethered Soul, have you read that book before?
Yeah.
So I think that's incredible. I think his name is Michael Singer that wrote it. And he talks about when we have some kind of experience that triggers an old wound that's in our heart, it shuts down our heart. And so we have a choice in that very instance, like when it first happens, that first trigger, we have the choice to open our heart and let ourselves feel that, and then that clears it. Or, and I, this is my very brief understanding of it, so let me know if you got anything else out of it. Or that what we most often do naturally, well, not naturally, but because we've been conditioned to do this, what we most often do is actually shut down our heart so that we can't feel it. And then it starts this cycle. So wherever we start, we have to run the whole pattern of whatever we were feeling. And then finally we can come back. And I had never noticed that I did that until my dog passed away in December. And I would get triggered and then I would run this whole cycle. And so my partner would like maybe do something that triggered me. And then I would notice that he'd shifted, but I couldn't shift out of my anger for him. And I was still so angry or hurt or whatever it was. And he was being so amazing. And I'm like, why can't I come back out? But I was like on this rapid wave that I had to just ride all the way back around. So I would love for you to explain that in your own version of it, because when we explain things, it can be different, and that's awesome. And then talk to us about how do we get it just before we start that rapid torrential ride that we can't get off until it's done. Like there's no control when you're in that pain body over there. It's horrible.
Yes. I feel like coming to the point where you can really get it before it goes is a lot of self-reflection, and there's a lot of practice time, but there's a lot of acceptance for ourselves in like recognizing, oh, I'm caught in that place again. And instead of beating ourselves up for it, is being like, oh, that's okay. Like this time I actually recognize that I'm in that place. So that's good. So then now I've gotten one step further, and to keep on acknowledging yourself anytime it happens for, okay, so this time I've recognized I'm in it, and now I'm going to make a conscious choice to take steps to get out of this loop. So it's the biggest part for me, I think, is like being gentle with ourselves, because we're all human. Like I've been doing this work on the heart for many years, and I still find I catch myself sometimes of like, whoa, I did it again. Like, how did I still get caught in this loop? Like I've got all the tools. Like I've got all the tools. It's like, But sometimes, like, we're human and we get caught in it. It's like, it's okay. Accept myself, but it's fine. And I feel like this happens a lot in relationships, like the thing of one of us is caught in the pain body and the other one's already past it. And that can cause some pretty big rifts and issues. And so I feel like the person who's caught in that loop, once you've acknowledged it, is, for me, I find the thing that I know helps me the most, which for me is usually to just ask for a little bit of me time. I know that that's what works for me, is to just be like, well, I'm kind of in a bit of a, I'm not okay right now, and I'm just going to leave the situation for a little while and have some me time, and then I'm going to come back and can we talk when I get back?
That is a very logical and considered pain body that you've got there. I love that. My pain body would not talk like that.
I can totally go, yeah, because I can totally go, oh, I'm in that space. But this is from years of, it didn't used to be like that. It used to be, like, I used to have a side of myself that we used to laugh about called fire girl with one of my ex-partners from years ago. And he would be like, oh, you've got fire girl out again. Because I would go and there'd be, like, no controlling it.
Yeah.
The other way, though, is, like, after it, if you've got a really amazing partnership, is once you've moved through it, to be able to sit down with your partner and both discuss. So when you're in that, what do you think is actually going to be able to help you? You can usually know after. Like, it can be the things like we storm off saying, I hate you, and we walk away, when really all we wanted was for them to grab us and give us a big hug, and they don't know what to do. So if they knew next time we go off like that, grab me, give me a big hug, it ends the cycle quite quickly. Yeah. So it takes a while to get into the point where in the moment you can say, "Woo, I'm in the moment. This is what I need." But if you can communicate with a partner, if that's your situation, that you're either, even if it's just with flatmates and sisters and, like, close friends, if we can communicate what it is that we need when we've gone into that space, most people want to hold us through it and help us through it. Most people don't want to make it worse. It's just they don't know what to do. So then they panic and they're like, I don't know what to do with you. And it makes it worse.
Yeah.
And then they get frustrated and angry and, like, off you both go.
Yeah, because it can trigger their, I don't ever know what to do in the right situation. I don't know how to handle women when they're emotional. Like, it can trigger all sorts of things. But you're so right that if you can communicate, then the other person, like, they're in your life because they love you. So in some way they would love to support you. And if they know how, then usually you can get the support that you need. So I got to the point I can now effectively be like, I'm sorry, I want to be nice to you, but I can't right now. So I just need some space. Like, I can say that. I can't say. Yours was very structured, very beautiful and polite. I'm not that good. I'm like, I just can't, okay? Not today, not now.
But even that's awesome. Like, even getting to the, like, whoa, I can't. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's big.
And I love that you shared that, because that is such a practical thing that people can do at home, is like, so, okay, whether it's your partner or, like, family, geez, family can do it. It's why we were born to them, right? Whoever it is, like, boss, someone that's, like, has done something that you are then triggered by, to notice that and try and, like, just be really and be really accepting and loving for yourself in that moment, because that thing is only coming up so that you can learn to love it. So just, like, honoring that, recognizing that, and then being able to communicate with the other person during that, if possible, but if not, afterwards, communicate what could be good for next time. So exactly. I love that. Like, exactly. Sorry, fire girl came out, and here's what I need from you next time if that happens. Like, it's like the Hulk came out and I can't control that, so let's just explain what we could do next time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, like, I know for myself, what I found is that once I felt like that part of me wasn't rejected, that part of me was going to be safe when I went into losing it, that part of me came out less and less and less and less and less. And that's probably how I've gotten to the point now where I can say what it is that I need on that particular time. But it's like suddenly she felt like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually safe. Like it's, I think quite often it's happening because we feel like we're not safe for some reason.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be logical.
Probably isn't. And that's a really good point. There are so many times, like just for everyone listening, that the trigger could be that you were three and your parent got up and walked out of the room and you have no idea that they went to get you milk and you thought they were leaving you and now you've got an event. Like it can be so little, and because it happened between 0 and 7 or God knows how many past lifetimes ago, that you, like, I think that I spent a lot of my time trying to figure out where things came from for a long time. And now I still think balancing out your perception of situations is really helpful consciously to do that. But I think when you're feeling something, just feel it. Like just, it doesn't, you don't have to know that it happened when you were three. You just need to love it. That's all that needs to happen in that moment. So yeah. And I would also love to know what your advice is if your partner is the one that is triggered at that point and they're like on their little heart shutdown wave tidal thing. What do you recommend that we do in that time to not be triggered ourselves so that we can hold them in that?
Breathe.
Breathe.
It's pretty much as that simple as like just breathe. It is actually incredible, just that little piece. Like usually when we're starting to go into that trigger mode, we're not breathing. We're like going into, and we're like coming up into the chest or into the head. And it's like, if you just breathe and drop back down into your body, it's like, okay, this actually isn't as bad as what I think it is. It's all okay. Everybody's safe.
Cool.
Like my partner's losing their mind right now. That's okay. And it kind of, for me, I kind of just breathe and talk to myself through it. It's like, it's cool. This is actually not overly about me right now. This is about them. And it's just, you know, like let them know, yep, okay, I hear you, but how about we talk about this later? Or if they can't even hear that, then just, okay. But try really hard not to bite into it is the thing that I feel like is the biggest piece. It's like just breathe and try not to bite. Stop and take a couple of seconds, which for me is what the breath is about. Just stopping and breathing. Once you've had a couple of seconds, you're less likely to snap and retaliate back.
Yeah.
Or to get as triggered.
Mm.
Because it's like that freak out. We're coming up in the head and we're like,
Yeah. And so important to remember what it feels like for you in those times. Like it's actually almost like you're not the same person when you're really in your pain body like that. You're this like 3-year-old who thinks the whole, like it actually feels life or death, and it can be the smallest thing that triggers it. But it feels like, I don't know, maybe really unconsciously deep down, we think we're going to be sent out of the tribe. And then that means that we would die back in caveman times. So it can feel life or death. And, to as much as possible while you look at your partner, remember that that's how they feel in that moment, that they really aren't themselves. Whatever they're saying, it's not the truth of them. It's just this like really scared little child or like this emotion that's coming through, but it doesn't mean it's all of them. And I think, yeah, if you can maybe even see them as a little child while they're screaming, then like that would be kind of cute and entertaining in your head. And if we can use humor to keep ourselves like in our bodies and just, you know, taking it in a pleasant way, that would be helpful as well.
Totally. And humor can be a really big piece. Like depending on, I know with me personally, if I go through flip out, depending if the person knows me well enough, actually humor can bring me back out of it, making me laugh. And bring me back out of it. However, that has to be someone that knows me well, because also if you pick the wrong person to try and make them laugh, you could make it worse. But just letting the person know as well, like you love them.
Yeah.
Like even if we're in a flip out and someone just is like, babe, I really love you.
Yeah.
Instead of tripping out back at us.
Yeah.
Like it's like we're not feeling seen, we're not feeling safe, we're not feeling heard, we're flipping out. We know we're flipping out and we don't know how to bring ourselves back in. It's like if someone is there to just be like, I love you, I love you.
Mm.
I love you.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you have to be centered yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I feel has come up for me a lot in my last relationship was feeling like, what would it take for him to leave? Like there was this almost, and I think it's a real feminine thing that we push them and we're testing them, the masculine, to see how long, like how safe the masculine is and like how committed are they really? Because if we're going to have kids to them, like again, in caveman times, we needed to know they were going to provide for us and protect us. So we want to know that they're safe. And so there's this like, how far do I have to push before you would decide it's not worth it and leave, like this old pattern that I've got going on. And so if I am in that and I hear, I know that you're really flipping out right now and like you're angry and I still love you and there's nothing that you can do that would make me not love you, things like that can be like, oh, okay, because this whole game that I'm playing right now is trying to see how far it would take until you left. So if you can say things like that to your partner, like remind them that there is nothing that they could say. Like if you can, if that is true and you can say that, remind them that there's nothing that you can say that they can say that would make you stop loving them. That can give them a really safe space. And as soon as they feel safe, they can calm down a lot as well and open their hearts again.
Yeah, totally. I feel like too, like that's a big part around being able to not only step into our own feminine, but to become really close with our own masculine as well. Mm. And I feel like that's shifting a lot at the moment of not just male body, female body, you're the masculine, I'm the feminine kind of thing. It's now shifting into owning both within our own body. And especially for, you know, women who tend to be the more likely one to kind of flip out. It's a total generalization, but it tends to be what will happen. It's the feminine that kind of goes, whoa, and freaks. Is if we are able to bring our masculine into alignment to really be here and to hold us and be present with us, then we're not looking for that externally at all in our partner anyway. And we stop kind of doing the, because that is absolutely what we do, is we push and we test and we push and we test and we wonder how far we can push them. But that's because we think that we need them in order to be safe. Whereas if we're working with our own masculine, now it doesn't matter. Like we're safe and whole completely within ourselves and we don't need them to be doing anything for us. Mm. So it's this like play of what are we doing to our own masculine? Are we pushing our own masculine away as well and testing and pushing and seeing how far we can push it?
Yeah.
So it's like turning that mirror back on ourselves and going, okay, I need to come into full alignment within me right now instead of expecting my partner to be doing any of that for me.
Yeah.
Richer relationships. Like, yeah, I've really noticed that is a big one for me. In my world, I used to very much expect the man to be playing a certain role for me. And now I feel like I'm really centered and in alignment with both my masculine and my feminine. It's a lot of the work that I've done and I continue to do with others. Mm. And now when I'm relating with someone, it's, I don't have any expectation of him to hold me in any particular way because I'm doing that for myself. And I really feel like a lot of that work came through the womb work as well. Being able to drop into the womb allows us to own our own priestess, which means we can initiate our own masculine and some masculine around us as well. But it's for me, it's all about what are we able to do for ourselves? Because really we can only ever be responsible for us.
Anyway. Yeah. I love that so much. And I've seen, there are two things that I'm seeing so much in the world at the moment, like on the cutting edge of what people are downloading in like their own meditations and stuff, is that we need to embody the masculine and feminine ourselves. Yeah. Like it's as if we kind of were like, oh, hang on, we need a good dynamic in our relationship. And then we've gone, hang on, we need a good dynamic in ourselves. And that is totally something that came out of my post breakup analysis. I was like, okay, so I disowned my masculine because I was true masculine when I was younger and I disowned my feminine. So I swung the other way. And he disowned his feminine. And so he, like, we're both doing work around bringing ourselves back into alignment. So I love that. And the other one is surrendering to divine order. That feels like it's on the cutting edge of consciousness. How can we let go of what we think we want and let God lead us. But that's another podcast. That's, yeah, a whole other thing entirely. My gosh, this episode is going so fast, and it's like I haven't talked about hardly anything I want to talk about, and all of the things that I didn't know that I wanted to talk about, but that were perfect as well. Yeah, just so much in that. Thank you so much, Zephyria. Yeah. So beautiful. I would love to know what you recommend in terms of, on a day-to-day basis, what has made the most impact for you of how to be in your heart and your womb and centered in your own body? How can people play with that more? Like the meditation that you gave us before, how can they, like, are there exercises or activities that they can do to feel that, or journaling questions that they can do at home to start inquiring themselves?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I've actually created a whole infinite self-love program around this because I feel like there's just so much that can be done on this experience of coming back to our own heart and coming back into ourselves. Mm. And yeah, the meditation is definitely, for me, like things like that are really big, and there's a few different ones of those that I have. But I was thinking that meditation as well. I don't know if you share anything extra, but I'm happy to just share that with you. Or
awesome. I'll put a link on the
30-minute version of it. So I'll give it to you.
Beautiful. I'll put a link on the aninspiredlife.com.au website. So where your podcast will be, just so everyone knows where they can find your podcast on the aninspiredlife.com.au website. Then I'll make sure that there's a link over to that as well for them.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Because I feel like that was such a little, just a little bit of it. So if I share the whole thing, then people can play with that and you can do that quite a few times over. Awesome. Another one is definitely journaling. And mm-hmm. I will journal to my heart and to my womb. I will actually just sit and breathe into, say I'm doing my heart, sit and breathe into my heart like I showed you before, and I'll get my journal out and I'll be like, my heart says, or my heart wants, or my heart desires, or whatever it might be. And I allow myself to really drop into my body and really answer that directly from my heart. So I'm not thinking as I'm writing. It's like just free writing, and just let it come. And I'll do the same thing for my womb as well. And that has allowed me to find different pieces that I might not have been consciously aware of. Mm. So, or find like, oh, I didn't even know that my heart was upset about that. Or I didn't even know that my heart needed that from me. That helps me a lot to then decide what other exercises I might want to do.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I love, you know, that. For example, it might be, you know, that it needs more self-love or tender care, or, but then another time it might be it needs more fun. So if I was trying to be really set on what I was doing and I was like, oh, my heart obviously just needs tender care, and really what she wanted was like heaps of fun.
Yeah.
Like actually just inquiring, like, what does she want? Not what does my mind think she wants?
Mm, beautiful. And the last question before we finish up is, how do you do love with boundaries? So when you were talking about the masculine coming in to make you, like your own masculine coming in to make you feel safe, because I'm still integrating both of them, and I'm really aware that they're like they're a continual process of evolution for me. When my masculine comes in, he like cuts everything off. So my masculine would be like, okay, then you're out and I'm going to take charge and I'm going to go do this with my day and blah, like, so he's like very, I'm going to protect you by cutting you out. And so my feminine is like, no, let's just wait a little longer. Maybe we can like figure something out here. And so I haven't yet found a way to integrate them where my feminine can, like, I'm still really loving while I do that. And I know that the priestess energy is a beautiful one for that. But even in that, I'm still navigating love, beautiful, big open heart, but with like a big fence around it, they say, is like a good analogy for like beautiful, big open heart, but you're on the other side right there. I'm like, this is our space in between. How do you navigate love, big open heart, and boundaries? Because if we don't have them, we can feel unsafe and then we end up closing our hearts. So how do you do open heart with boundaries.
So that's been like quite a journey for me on trying to figure that out, because going through this process of really opening my heart, I really want to not have the boundaries, but then when you don't have the boundaries, people don't know and they trample all over you as well. So it's like finding, for me, it was realizing that by setting boundaries with other people, what I'm doing is actually loving them even more, because people don't actually want to overstep usually. They don't want to overstep our boundaries. So they actually like to know, like, oh, cool, this is kind of okay. And like, this sort of isn't okay. So for me, it was realizing that boundaries is not only loving me, but it's loving the other people around me as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that took me quite a while to understand that concept, that by setting boundaries with others, it's not, I'm not pushing them away, I'm not rejecting them, I'm just being really clear on like, this is okay and this isn't okay. And, you know, I practice a lot of that through sacred sexuality work as well. So it's something that I really play with literally in the physical sense with other people, on where is my boundary, on how close you stand to me or what you say or whether I allow you to touch me or not. And that just resetting the boundaries all the time has helped me to be clear on what they are. So I feel like it's something to be able to play with other people too. It's just, you know, sitting in the same room and feeling into, okay, so if you and I are sitting this far opposite each other on the chair, I feel pretty comfortable. And if you just come a little closer to me, how am I feeling? And it allows us to start to feel into our body on what's okay and what's not. So that's like an actual physical boundary, but that then correlates to every other area of our life too. Boundaries on our time and boundaries on everything. But to be able to practice what it feels like in the same space of like, oh yeah, I'm cool when you're that close, come a little bit closer, starting to feel uncomfortable, come a little closer, no, that's not okay, can you go back a bit? That's a really tangible way to be able to practice something that then rolls out into every area of your life. And then another piece too, like when you're talking about like your masculine and feminine, and the masculine can kind of then want to take over. For me, it's been about my masculine and feminine have quite a relationship with each other, and becoming aware of the different parts of the masculine and feminine too, from like the, you know, the little baby version, the inner child version of us, right the way up through teenage years, you know, the lover, then right up to our king and queen, being aware that they have a relationship with one another. So like mine will have date nights. Like last night was a date night for my lovers.
What did you do? Should I not ask?
No, you can ask. Well, that's where the flowers are from.
Yeah. Did your male masculine lover get your feminine lover flowers?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
She was very happy. She likes the flowers. And had a bath and then a self-pleasure as well. So and for me, it really even is that, like, just holding myself and realizing, like, feeling my masculine hold my feminine. For me, my masculine stands behind me and my feminine is able to just soften into his arms. And I practice that a lot. And because they have a relationship with each other, they don't push each other out of the way.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You've given all of us so much to, I wanted to say think about, but I think like feel into is probably more appropriate. Yeah. So much to play with. And that's one of the things that we set as an intention, was like fun and playful. And so thank you so much for sharing so many amazing things. I'm sure that people will want to come and find out more about you. So how do they come find you?
Yeah. So there's website, zephyriabell.com.au. It's spelled Z-A-P-H-E-R-I-A, Zephyria Bell, and Facebook page as well. And if you're in a female body, I've actually just set up a new group as well called the Inner Circle, which is a bit of a special sacred women's circle. So you request to join us on there as well.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'm going to come over and join that. That sounds awesome.
We've got a special event in there from the 20th of May to the 9th of June. So come and play.
Cool. I would love to. So thank you very much. And thank you everyone who listened to this episode. Like, I obviously got so much out of this for me right now in this moment. And so I just love that I get to do this and that I get to do this with each of you. And I love hearing from each of you about your insights and what you get out of it, or what you play with at home, and what works for you or what doesn't work for you. Actually, it excites me and inspires me, because often during a podcast, the only person I talk to is Zephyria, you know, and other guests like her. So I love to hear from the listeners. So if you want to come and share with me and let me know what you got out of that meditation, or, you know, even just me sharing really raw and vulnerably about where I'm at in my journey, or just, you know, something that Zephyria has said, I would love for you to go to facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrising, or you can just search Lightworkers Rising and you can come and join the conversation. You can find Zephyria and I, our little faces, in the group, and join the conversation below that post, because some really cool stuff happens in those conversations. So I would love to see you there and hear what's been going on for you. And Zephyria and I are about to head over to do our secret episode. And I think it's going to be really cool as well, because now I get to ask her more about how many other dates does she go on with her different parts of herself inside of her. And, you know, and how does she keep her heart open, and what's challenging her in life the moment, all those sorts of cool things. So you can find the secret episode at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret and get access to Zephyria and I chatting about the behind the scenes in her life. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast and you feel that you got value out of it, and honestly, I don't know how you could not have, because I have, and it's awesome, and Zephyria is awesome. So if you feel you've gotten value out of it, please share, because without people like you sharing these kind of conscious conversations, it just takes so much longer to spread the word. Like, if you share and then the people that you love find benefit in it and then they share, then the world can rise together from that kind of collaboration. So you can make a difference literally just by hitting share or copying a link and pasting it somewhere. So please do that, and feel free, of course, to give us a 5-star review on iTunes as well, so other people can find out about it. Whew, okay, that is everything all wrapped up. Thank you again, Zephyria. I'm so excited to head over to our secret episode and reveal what goes on behind the scenes of your life. Thank you, everyone. I'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.